RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome to English Bulletin program of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, listener. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo to reduce the number of school dropouts. Indonesian police playing tough in combating cyber crimes in Indonesia. Minister of Industry asks people to use Indonesian domestic products. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo is determined to reduce the number of school dropouts in the country. The head of Press, Media, and Information of the Presidential Secretariat, Bey Mahmudin, said. He sent a statement received in Yogyakarta on Saturday that the government would increase more and equal access to educational services to children of all school ages in the country. One of the efforts taken is through extension of cash subsidy for education of all school age children from poor families and orphans. The head of state also reminded that in the current era of global competition, the quality of human resources in Indonesia must continue to be increased. According to data, currently 42.5% of Indonesian workforce includes elementary school leavers, 66% are elementary or junior high school leavers, and 82% are elementary, junior and senior high school leavers. Through KIV, the government hopes that all school-age children in the country would have equal access to educational services so that the quality of workforce would improve. President Joko Widodo will hold a limited cabinet meeting to discuss the progress of the light rail transit LRT development connecting from Cawang to Ciburis, Jakarta, which will enter operation in March 2019. State Palace Media Bureau head Bey Triadi Mahmudin said that the meeting will start 3 p.m. today, February 6, at the President Office in Jakarta. According to the government, the technical progress has reached 12%, expecting the infrastructure for the LRT will be finished in the middle of next year. Besides urban railway transportation, the LRT infrastructure also accommodated phone lines and fiber optic communication. The central government and state-owned contractor Adhikarya plan to eventually connect Bogor, Depok, and Bekasi with the Jakarta through the LRT system. Internet users should now really think twice before tweeting or posting anything on social media. The police have decided to deploy more personnel to investigate citizens who are suspected of violating the controversial electronic information transaction ITE law, including its draconian articles in the defamation and hate speech. The National Police Polri have announced that they have expanded their cybercrime unit, which was initially operating under the Criminal Investigation Department Special Economic Directorate, into becoming a separate directorate. The creation of Special Cybercrime Directorate is aimed at increasing the force's capacity to tackle the growing number of criminal threats in the cyberspace, National Police spokesperson Inspector General Roy Rafli Amar told Jakarta Post on Saturday. Minister of Industry Airlangga Hartarto asks people to use more products from the domestic industry. He said it will boost sustainable productivity and competitiveness of businesses so that they can master the domestic and international markets. Minister Erlangga, through a press release on Sunday, explained the quality of Indonesian products are good. In fact, many products want the export markets. based on the performance indicator of trade in ASEAN level Indonesia lists in various industry sectors such as food, textile, chemical, minerals, agro-based palm oil, electronics, and transportation. Minister Airlangga also calls on the public, industry players, and stakeholders to support the domestic product utilization program. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Officials from Class 1 Special Immigration Office at Soekarno-Hatta International Airport in Tangerang, Banten rejected the arrival of 5 Bangladeshi citizens because they don't have a clear purpose to visit Indonesia. The head of the Public Relations and Directorate General of the Immigration, Indonesian Minister of Justice and Human Rights, Agun Budi Sampurna, through a written statement on Sunday said that the arrival in Indonesia is predicted only a transit destination to Malaysia through illegal channels. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Agun Budi Sampurna explained, the 5 foreigners were aboard Malindo Airways flight from Kuala Lumpur. Furthermore, the immigration authorities deported the 5 Bangladeshi citizens on board flight number OD315 Malindo Kuala Lumpur on Friday, February 3rd, at around 1 o'clock p.m. Western Indonesian time. Poland oil field in East Java, which managed by PT Pertamina EP, is capable of producing an average 2,852 barrels of oil per day through 2016 or surpassed the target. Director of Operation and Production of PT Pertamina EP, Pribadi Mahaguna Bansa, said in Jakarta on Sunday that the labor production is obtained by running sun production methods. For example, the use of gas lit of PEC technology for optimization of wells and maintaining production levels. Pribadi also added that although the field is relatively old, but he is still optimistic it can be able to produce oil and gas in accordance with the target. As a result, during 2016, Poland field is able to exceed the target. In 2017, Poland oil field is expected to reach oil production amounting to 3,088 barrels of oil per day. The use of gas-lit pack of technology is expected to optimize and maintain the production levels. Mangrove conservation is largely still being neglected by the government, even though the country's swamps, a crucial guardian of the coast amid a rising sea level, are facing the highest rate of destruction in recent decades. The country's mangroves are increasingly being threatened by oil palm plantation expansion as well as various reclamation projects. Mangroves, which are unique among the wood plants as they can survive in salt water and can filter sewer, have the capacity to keep pace with sea level rises. According to the Center for International Forestry Research, CIFOR, sun mangrove forests in the country can survive from sea level rises as they accumulate 4 mm of sediment every year, more than the average sea level rise rate, which is 1.8 mm per year. The last item. The Indonesian Football Association, PSSI, has appointed a new head coach for the national futsal team, Victor Hermans from Netherlands. Hermans previously coached several Asian teams, including Thailand and Iran. He also led the coaching staff of Malaysian and Hong Kong's national teams. The 63-year-old man has signed a one-year contract with Indonesian Futsal Federation, FFI, a sub-organization of the PSSI. Hermans will oversee the national team during the Asian Football Confederation AFC U20 Futsal Championship in May, Southeast Asian Games in August, and ASEAN Football Federation AFF Futsal Championship in November. Hermans has recently said that he saw during the 2016 AFF Futsal Championship that Indonesia has many talented players, but there are numerous things that should be fixed. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, a commentary today entitled Media Verification, Is It Necessary? Indonesian Press Council has conducted verification on the mass media in Indonesia, both print and electronic media such as television, radio, and online media. Indonesian President Joko Widodo is scheduled to witness the delivery of verification certificates to 74 media companies at the peak of commemoration of National Press Day in Ambon, Maluku Province next Wednesday, February 8, 2017. All of the 74 media companies are those that have submitted their company's data and signed Palembang Charter in 2010. While the verification process for others is still underway, all media that pass the administrative requirements will be lodged in as a registered media. The Press Council will provide Quick Response QR code logo to the prepackaged print and online media. When checked by using smartphones, it will be connected to the Press Council database link, which contains the data of the media companies concerned. As for the television and radio media, the council will install ins and outs bumpers as a sign between the news being broadcast. The question is verification necessary for media companies in Indonesia? In this era of global communication as today, the information circulating in the community comes from not only the official media, but also from online media and even social media. The information received by the people is so aggressive that it's difficult to distinguish whether the information is true or it is only false news or hoax. The repeat information technology followed by a number of online media and press companies after the reform era of 1998 has resulted in the proliferation of the spread of unverified news. Indeed, law number 40/1999 on the press mention every Indonesian citizens and the country have the right to establish a press company. The company must have an Indonesian legal entity. Every year, the Press Council, in this case, the Commission on Research, Data Collection and Ratification of the Press, collects data on the press company. Based on the data, it is shown that not all companies have legal entities. Thus, formally, such media company has not complied with the press law or can be said as an illegal press company. Through verification of this media, the Press Council, as an independent agency that works to promote and protect the press in Indonesia, will be able to recognize which press companies professionally run and produce professional journalism. The Press Council can provide legal assistance if a press company is facing trouble in the news it has released. Moreover, the verification issued by the Press Council will show to sources, government, institution, or the public that the media company is reliable and professional in providing its journalism coverage. For the public, the media verification of the Press Council will be very helpful in filtering news and information, so the public will only receive news from a trusted source or a press company that is verified by the Press Council, so that people do not get trapped by misleading information. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to our regular program Today in History. We begin with an event which occurred on February 6, 1952, when Elizabeth II became the Queen of United Kingdom. Elizabeth II is the Queen of United Kingdom. She became Queen when her father, King George VI, died on 6 February 1952 and directly became Chairwoman of Commonwealth Realms. Elizabeth got married with Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh, on 20 November 1947. The couple has four children. The next event was in 1959 when Jack Kilby patented the world's first integrated circuit. Jack St. Clair Kilby was an American electrical engineer who took part on with Robert Noyce in the realization of first integrated circuit while working at Texas Instruments TI in 1958. He was awarded the Nobel Prize in Physics on December 10, 2000. He is also the inventor of the handheld calculator and the thermal printer, for which he has patents. He also has patents for seven other inventions. On February 6, 1959, Jack Kilby patented the world's first integrated circuit. And the last event was in 1993 when Muhammad Nasir, Islamic figure in Indonesia, died. Muhammad Nasir was an Islamic scholar and politician. He was Indonesian Peace Prize Minister. After moving to Bandung, West Java from his hometown, Solok, West Sumatra, for Sena School, Nasir studied Islamic doctrine intensively. His first articles were published in 1929, and during 1930s,
he wrote for several Islamic teen papers. He entered politics in the mid-1930s, rising to the ranks of Islamic parties. On the 5th September 1950, he was chosen as Prime Minister, a term which he served until 26 April 1951. After his turn as a Prime Minister, he became increasingly vocal about Islam's role in Indonesia and was eventually arrested for doing so. Released in 1966, after the New Order government took power, Nasir continued to be critical of the government, eventually leading to him being banned from traveling. Nasir wrote extensively on Islam, totaling 45 books and hundreds of articles. He viewed Islam as an intrinsic part of Indonesian culture and was disappointed by the Sukarno and Suharto government's handling of the region. He was given 3 honorary doctorates during his lifetime, one from Lebanon and 2 from Malaysia. He died on 6 February 1993. On 10th November 2008, Nasir was honored as the National Hero of Indonesia. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listeners, nice to be with you again in our program Focus. The theme of today's focus is Indonesia regrets U.S. President's policy. Indonesia is concerned that the new U.S. immigration policy would have a negative impact on global efforts to combat terrorism. Earlier, U.S. President Donald Trump has prohibited citizens from Muslim-majority countries, namely Syria, Iran, Iraq, Yemen, Sudan, Somalia, and Libya from entering the country. Spokesman of Indonesia Minister of Foreign Affairs, Armanata Nasir, stated at the press briefing in Jakarta on last Tuesday that Indonesia deplores the U.S. government immigration policy. He admitted that the policy is a sovereign right of the United States, but regrets it because it will bring about negative impact on the global efforts against terrorism and the handling of refugees. But he emphasized that people should not be much panic. Indonesian citizens certainly can still enter the United States with the existing rules. Armanata Nasir also explained it is a mistake if the issue of radicalization and terrorism is associated with the particular religion, namely Islam. He views that one of the ways to overcome international terrorism is to strengthen cooperation with a number of countries. Thus, Indonesia's Minister of Foreign Affairs continues to increase cooperation with the new U.S. administration. He added that the Indonesian government has urged its citizens in the United States to know their rights and to respect the law. Meanwhile, Vice Chairman of Commission 1 of the Indonesian House of Representatives, DPR, Mutia Fiada Hafid, also regrets the policy of U.S. President Donald Trump banning Muslims to enter the country. Mutia said she would communicate with the U.S. Ambassador to Indonesia, Joseph Donovan, on the matter and asked how the official stance of the U.S. politics is, especially to Muslim or a predominantly Muslim country like Indonesia. Mutia Fiada Hafid wants Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi to ask directly to the United States Ambassador to Indonesia, Joseph Donovan, how actually the U.S. policy to Indonesia is. She added that President Donald Trump's policy will surely distort bilateral relations between the two countries, even though it is indirectly related to his policy. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana. Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo is determined to reduce number of school dropouts in the country, to the head of press, media, and information presidential secretariat, Baih Mahmudin said. Indonesian President Joko Widodo will hold a limited cabinet meeting to discuss the progress of the light rail transit LRT development connecting from Cawang to Cibubur East Jakarta, which will enter operation in March 2019. Internet users should now really think twice before tweeting or posting anything on social media. The police Polri have decided to deploy more personnel to investigate citizens who are suspecting of violating the controversial electronic information transaction ID law, including its draconian articles in defamation and hate speech. Indonesia Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartanto asked people to use more products from the domestic industry. He said it will boost sustainable productivity and competitiveness of business so that they can master the domestic and international markets. Officials from Class 1 Special Immigration Office at Soekarno-Hatta International Airport in Tangerang, Banten rejected the arrival of 5 Bangladeshi citizens because they don't have a clear purpose to visit Indonesia. While an oil field in East Java, which managed by PT Pertamina IP, is capable of producing an average of 2,858 barrels of oil per day through 2016 or surpassed the target. Mangrove conservation is largely still being regulated by the government, even though the country swamps, a crucial guardian of the coast, amid a rising sea level, are facing the highest rate of destruction in recent decades. The Indonesian Football Association, PSSI, has appointed a new head coach for the national futsal team, Victor Hermans, from Netherlands. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 95.5 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at english.rriworldservice.com. Listener, our next segment is Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners and welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to South Lampung to enjoy beautiful Ketang Beach. Stay tuned. Listeners, the beauty of nature in Indonesia is amazing. One of them is in Lampung. Lampung is located at the southernmost of Sumatra Island. Recently, Lampung has become people's spotlight because Lampung is valued, increasingly advanced, especially in tourism. There are many tourism objects in Lampung, but tourism object which becomes warm conversation is Ketang Beach. The location of Ketang Beach is at Wai Urang Village, Kalianda, South Lampung Regency, Lampung. Listeners, Ketang Beach offers the beauty and comfortable nature for visitors. To enter Ketang Beach is free of charge. The beach, which has a distance around 2 kilometers from the government office of Kalianda, has a background of Mount Rajabasa. Beautiful black coral reef with various sizes decorating the beach are remaining of Mount Krakatoa eruption. On another side, white sand and clear sea water become attraction for visitors, as well as nice sound of wave which hit the rocks, adding the exotic of beach. At the beach, visitors can also enjoy sunrise and sunset. Listeners, if you climb to the rocks to take a picture while enjoying beautiful scenery, we suggest you to use footwear that is not slippery because those rocks are sharp and slippery. And you have to be careful because it is very dangerous. Although this place is quite dangerous, but many visitors have fun to take pictures and photographers will not pass the beauty of the amazing nature. Listeners, Ketang Beach has another name, namely Batu Rame Beach, because of many coral reef at the beach. Ketang or Batu Rame Beach is always crowded to be visited by visitors. Usually, they come at around 6 a.m. or 4 p.m. At the beach, visitors are prohibited to swim because the beach is not managed yet. So, there is no facility to rinse off. There is only simple stall for vendors to sell beds and foods. But you do not have to worry. If you come to the beach, we guarantee that you will be satisfied with the beach. Listeners, if you are in Lampung, set your time to come to Ketang Beach at Kalianda, South Lampung. That was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder featuring Ketang Beach. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Listener, thank you for still being with us, the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestions or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia, or to our email address at info@voi.co.id and english@voi.co.id. Listener, now let's listen to our segment, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is ke pesta pernikahan teman, or in English, attending my friend's wedding party. First, I'll use some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say its words slowly twice. You can follow after me. Pesta. Pesta. In English, party. Pernikahan. Pernikahan. In English, wedding. Teman. Teman. In English, friend. Besok. Besok, in English, tomorrow. Datang, datang, in English, to come. Berkumpul, berkumpul, in English, to meet. Di kantor, in English, at the office. Berangkat, berangkat, in English, to go. Jam sepuluh, in English, 10 o'clock. Jauh, jauh, in English, far. Pagi, pagi, in English, morning. Bis, bis, in English, bus. Sendiri, sendiri, in English, alone. Kereta api, in English, train. turun. Turun. In English, to step. Menyeberang. Menyeberang. In English, to cross. Gedung. Gedung. In English, building. Stasiun. Stasiun. In English, station. Samping. Samping. In English, besides. Cepat. Cepat. In English, be hurry or quick. Jalan kaki. Jalan kaki. In English, on foot. 10 menit. 10 menit. In English, 10 minutes. Next is a conversation on ke pesta pernikahan teman, or in English, attending my friend's wedding party. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly, twice, and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Erna A and Wati B at the office. A. Hai Wati, apakah kamu besok datang ke pernikahan teman kita? Hai Wati, apakah kamu besok datang ke pernikahan teman kita? In English, Hai Wati, do you want to come to a friend's wedding? B. Ya, tentu saja. Ya, tentu saja. In English, yes, of course. Berkumpul di kantor. Besok kita berkumpul di kantor. In English, tomorrow we'll meet at the office. Dari kantor kita berangkat jam 10. Dari kantor kita berangkat jam 10. In English, we go from the office at 10 o'clock. A. Apakah tempatnya jauh dari kantor? Apakah tempatnya jauh dari kantor? In English, is the location far from the office? B. Ya. Oleh karena itu, berangkat agak pagi. Ya. Oleh karena itu, berangkat agak pagi. In English, yes, it is. Therefore, we have to go earlier. Dari kantor, kita berangkat sama-sama naik bis kantor. Dari kantor, kita berangkat sama-sama naik bis kantor. In English, from the office, we go there by the office bus. Kalau tidak berangkat bersama rombongan, kamu bisa berangkat sendiri. Kalau tidak berangkat bersama rombongan, kamu bisa berangkat sendiri. In English, if you do not join with friends, you may go alone. A. Berangkat sendiri. Berangkat sendiri. In English, going alone. Naik apa? Naik apa? In English, how to go there? B. Kamu bisa berangkat naik kereta api. Kamu bisa berangkat naik kereta api. In English, you can go there by train. Letak gedungnya di seberang stasiun di samping mall. Letak gedungnya di seberang stasiun di samping mall. In English, the building is located close to the rail station besides mall. Api lebih cepat. Naik kereta api lebih cepat. In English, going there by train is more quickly. A. Baiklah, saya naik kereta api. Baiklah, saya naik kereta api. in English. Alright, I will go by train. Rumah saya tidak jauh dari stasiun kereta api. Rumah saya tidak jauh dari stasiun kereta api. My home is close to the rail station. Jalan kaki dari rumah ke stasiun hanya 10 menit. In English, I go to the station from home only 10 minutes on foot. Sampai jumpa di sana. Sampai jumpa di sana. In English, see you there. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on book. Until tomorrow with another topic, sampai jumpa lagi.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Wherever you are, welcome back with regular segment of Music Corner, which introduce you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we'll present to you an Indonesian keroncong singer, M. Rivani. Well, listeners, let's listen to the first song entitled Selendang Sutra by Rivani. Happy listening.
Terjapai tujuan.
Listeners, the song Selendang Sutra was composed by Ismail Marzuki, an Indonesian talented composer. This song tells about a fighter who was injured on the battlefield. Souvenirs such as a silk scarf, a gift of the beloved woman, then becomes dressing of injury. The song was composed in the era of Indonesian struggle in 1945. The song is still dedicated in many occasions. M. Rifani is an Indonesian keroncong singer who has a beautiful voice. However, there have not much information about his career in the Indonesian entertainment world, likewise in keroncong music. Well, listeners, let's listen to the next song entitled Rindu Lukisan by Rifani.
Nan merindu, rindu bayangan nan meliputi para sari wajahmu. Mengapa membisu seribu pasang? Mengapa mendusta seribu kata? Kapulan merindukan kumbang. Dapatkah kumbang mencapai rembulan? Rindu katakan rindu, usah kau malu karena asmara. Risau engkau, risau deh aku pun, maklum maksud tak sampai. Rindu hatimu, aku pun demikian. Rindu sudah nasi untung di badan. Hatiku nan merindu, rindu bayangan nan meliputi para sari wajahmu. Mengapa membisu seribu pasang? Mengapa mendusta seribu kata?
Risau engkau, risau di aku pun, maklum maksud tak sampai. Rindu hatimu, aku pun demikian. Rindu sudah nasi untung di badan.
Listeners, the song Rindu Lukisan describes the longing between a couple of lovers, which is not easily expressed in and simply put in the heart. The song that uses the word figuratively in most of poems are more perfect with the beauty of vocal owned by Rivani. Although it is an old song, the song is still enjoyable. Rindu Lukisan is one of the songs composed by Ismail Marzuki and popular at the time. Not only popular and sung by many musicians and singers in the country, the song is also known in foreign countries. In 1981, the song Rindu Lukisan, sung by guitarolist with video clips, which taken from the trailer of the film Kereta Terakhir or The Last Train. The song was taken from the Old Keroncong album Volume 2, produced by Gema Nada Pertiwi 2006. Well, listeners, to conclude our program for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Indonesia Pusaka and Rayuan Pulau Kelapa by Rivani. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Sampai akhir menutup mata.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.